Well, no wonder those words might have been altered or scrubbed out by our group, you think? But the thing is, I've got a copy of a photocopy of the paper itself. And it's right there for you to read. And somebody said they talked to Brother Ed. They talked to him for a couple of hours. They said, he says he's not going to read the website or listen to the material. I've tried to reach out and find out if that's accurate. I told him, this person says you said that. He won't respond. But how can he not read it or listen to it? I got this information from him. And remember, I asked his permission to share this with the ministers and to quote him. And after he gave me that permission, I waited 9 more months to make sure he had time. I didn't want to spring anything on him and the next Monday morning go send it all out to everybody. I waited 9 months. So why am I holding this barley field alone then? That's what I want to know. That's my question. But there's another component to this, and this is the component that has to do with the laity, because in the scriptures, God said, tell all the people that if you turn your eyes away from something like this, I will hold you individually accountable. And I've said, dear listener, dear reader, this is the word of the Lord to you. If this truth means anything to you, if what has been brought down to us at such cost means anything to you and your family, you need to give the minister something to be more afraid of than the fear of the movement tradition. In other words, you're going to get the ministry that you tolerate, maybe the ministry you deserve. You're going to go to Monarch, and every single one of the ministers there, for the most part, they're all on the list. They've all made promises they haven't kept because they can't, because the movement, and there's going to be conviction in their messages. There's going to be anointing. You got promises. You've run people completely away from the church who left with your broken promise that is still broken today. I checked someone within the last probably 72 hours. Did that person ever get back with you? No. In fact, they promised they'd get back with you too, because when they told me they'd get back with me, I said, well, would you mind getting back with Brother Arlen then too? Yeah, I'll do that. He didn't do that. But he's going to preach an anointed message here in the next 48 hours, I guess, or during this meeting. How's that work? Jesus said, if you come to the altar and there you realize you owe somebody something, somebody has a valid claim against you, go get that handled, then come back to the altar. Well, what do you think he would say to someone getting in the pulpit? And a brother was very concerned, and he says, I don't know what I just don't think I can do. No one's going to listen to me. Oh, really, brother? Well, how about you go to your pastor and ask your pastor, set some questions down in front of him and say, how much time do you need to get answers back to me on this now that you've had 7 years to think it over and study and pray and talk to all the other 36 ministers? Okay, then I want to go over those answers. But if you don't answer, if you do what Brother Arlen says you did with him, then I'm going to go to the Board of Trustees. And here's a tip. Don't bother to call a minister's meeting. And I'm going to tell them we have a problem, and we're going to ask that you not minister anymore until you deal with this. How about holding them accountable? That's what God said. You're going to have someone in the priesthood's going to do something like this, and you're going to let them? You don't think you can stop them? How can you not give them something to be more afraid of? Someone said, if the right person would come out with the right influence and give them cover, you would have ministers coming out of the woodwork saying they've been thinking the same thing for the last 30 years. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. These are people of principle. But a lot of things are just, I can't fathom. I don't know how. I don't know how the two ministers who said they agree with me, I don't know how they didn't identify. I cannot imagine a scenario where someone would be in a spot that involves something serious, and I tell that person I agree with them, and then they constantly keep saying there's somebody who agrees, and I don't stand up and say, I don't know who the other one is, but I'm one of them. I don't identify myself. How do you do that? But the scripture says people that do these kinds of things, they're on slippery places, and these ministers are in slippery places here. The idea, they just cannot believe that somebody could come out of nowhere and present something that would need to change our tradition. It just can't be, even though it is actually restoring our original tradition. In other words, there's all the cover in the world here for you, ministers, and we've been promising the world. It would be so easy to deal with this. People all over the world in all kinds of different variations of our group or that have taught a prohibition against medical aid are dealing with it. One wrote me who is over 150 congregations, not exactly our group, but he says, we taught this and we're not teaching it anymore. Another pastor who has been instrumental in getting this information out, including to those who only understand the Swahili language, he said, why don't you get out of there? He's listening to these audio tapes so you can be free like I am. I saw a picture of a congregation, and the pastor over in Africa, he left his home and traveled, went on a tour to try to just get this information, even just in paper form, back into the hinterlands, places where they might not have the internet. He said this young couple up here in this picture from this service that he had held, they let one of their children die from a treatable disease that they had access to the treatment. They went to the altar and they repented of that today, he told me. He's the one that said, why don't you get out of there? Where does that leave us? Where does that leave you brothers who won't keep a promise? Where does that leave you? Do you really think that God honors your traditions that you're upholding more than your promises to look into the Word of God? Are you serious? And Brother Dan, are you serious that when you present two scriptures to me, which I said, oh, we've worked over that. Brother D.S. Warner handled that in such depth. Could you just go read where we've handled those scriptures that you brought? These are the scriptures you brought. Because in them you think you have eternal life, Christ said? No. Again, could you look into all these other scriptures that also apply? Can we talk about the weather? Well, it's going to be hot, a very hot place one day. That's what the weather is going to be for people who do this sort of thing. Okay, so we talked about the five statements of D.S. Warner. Maybe someone wrote those down, and they can go ask these ministers while they're over at Monarch. That'd be a good time. Maybe they'll have a Bible study over there, and they could just take these five statements. That'd be a good Bible study, wouldn't it? Maybe if someone hears this, they might go find some of those ministers and say, hey, could you answer a few quick questions here? We got five questions from Scripture and four boundaries. Could we get comments from you on that? And the fact is, you see, regarding this matter, because this is such an abomination, it is so important to God for us to go represent to people that God requires human suffering and death to say, to lay, even the people at Molech, they didn't lay that on God. They laid it on Molech. But God weighed in and he said, nothing like this was ever in my heart, never in my mind. And was never, I never spake it. I never thought it. It was never in my heart that you would choose to deliberately do something by omission or commission. We've already established it does not matter. Omission versus commission does not matter in the eyes of God. Everything that God weighs in on regarding the subject that are most serious have to do with omission anyway, including the very judgment scene itself. But I want us to look at how Brother Dan Doolittle handled this after all these years that he had. And I told him, if you need more time for this, I know I contacted you. I don't expect a text message exchange to be put up as a transcript. That wouldn't be fair. He said, oh, I've read it over. You know, go ahead and put it up. That's what I have to say. I don't have to, nothing to expand on it. You heard the transcript. But this is scary now. We're dealing with something very, very dangerous to the souls of men in this matter. And I don't intend to give up or back down from the Word of God. This is the Word of God that I'm presenting, and you won't say otherwise. What are you going to say? We just read it. It's still there, James 5 and 13. Well, what else are you going to say? You can't prove that any of the scriptures that D.S. Warner pointed out were wrong. They're not wrong. The whole Bible, all the way from beginning to end, you would have to overturn that omission is commission. First of all, that's where you'd have to start. You can't do that. You got nowhere to go. You're flying into a box canyon. But you're doing more than that. You are officially terminating the Evening Light group as being part of the Church of God. And here's how I know that. Ed Wilson's dad, Brother Clifford Wilson, Patsy Kane, who is Ed Wilson's sister, said that Brother Clifford Wilson taught that if this group ever puts doctrine or creed above the Word of God, it is no longer the Church of God. So according to that definition, it is no longer the Church of God. There are people in it who are part of the universal Church of God, but this behavior by the ministers violates the non-negotiable, what Brother Ed called the spontaneous behaviors of holiness. And part of that is an open, honest readiness to look into the Word of God. And as Brother Mark Salmon said, if something is shown in the Bible where I'm holding something wrong, he said, I've got to change that right then. So a year ago, when I made all those other tracks, there's about 25, 26 tracks. The last track that I left off with was the disclaimer from Brother Ed Wilson. I put that up there. And that was the last word until July 4th, which was the 7th anniversary of my first petition to the ministers. But I made a couple of other tracks last year. In fact, I put both of them on the air and then I took them down. And the reason I did was my wife listened to them, Sarah. She said, well, you've changed now from delivering the message about the scriptures, and now you're addressing the ministers. In fact, she said, I think you're striving with the ministers, actually. And the scripture says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. So I took them down. I didn't ever intend to put them back up. But after getting this exchange from Dan, I think that it is critical that I do what I can to show what the ministers are doing, according to the Word of God, to show the danger of the deception here that is being perpetrated and handling the Word of God craftily, teaching flat-out false doctrine, and lots of them know it, but they just can't change. There's nothing we can do. We're locked in for the judgment. Trouble is, we're doing it knowingly now, and that's different. I told Angela Gillenbeck, I said, what your parents did when they lost their child, what you did, what I did, Sarah did, what we all did, we did it when doing anything else would have violated our consciences, but that's not the case now. Why is it not the case now? Because about 25 years ago, Brother Ed Wilson told me this was not how this Reformation started. And I began looking. And over time, I began to develop this. The light came. It wasn't my idea. I didn't know it. Didn't discover it. Someone told me about it. I sent a text message to Ivan Eck. I keep saying over and over that, you know, this one brother said that we have regional meetings and we'll get together with the brothers if it's okay. In fact, I'd like to invite somebody else that wasn't on your list. Is that okay? Well, sure, that's okay. And then we'll get back with you. That was Ivan Eck. And I sent him a text. Well, he didn't respond to my email. I'm sure that's his email. He got it the first time when he said he'd have a regional meeting. So I sent him a text message. He doesn't respond to the text message either. I keep saying there's a brother who said, well, as soon as I finish up some Bible teaching, I'll, you know, get back. That was Curtis Williams. That was back in 2016. And that's the end of this track. The next track will be charges being placed against the ministers and detailed for sinning against the brethren and sinning against Christ in these matters.